Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynam. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Can you imagine exploring God's wild and wonderful world in the ocean? The ocean is full of so many creatures that have not even yet been discovered. And the ones that have been discovered, they are quite amazing. Yesterday, we discovered God's amazing designs in corals in the ocean. We learned from Dr. Robert Carter. And Dr. Carter is not only a marine biologist who specializes in corals, but he has been on over 500 scuba dives and is joining us again today to tell us about his scuba adventures. Before we get started, let's thank our sponsors who made this special episode possible, including Masterbooks. Today, we are diving deep into the ocean, but we are not just fishing for facts. We will resurface with wonder and evidence for what we believe. This level of adventure is what our friends at Masterbooks are all about. Masterbooks helps families grow together in faith, wisdom, and wonder. They don't just settle with facts, but take us deeper into the marvelous truths of God that we can discover in every subject and area of life. Masterbooks helps children connect science, history, math, and language to the truth of God's word. So kids don't just memorize facts, they discover God's story woven throughout everything. Visit masterbooks.com to explore their curriculum, books, and resources designed to nurture faith that stands strong in God's truth. This lesson is also made possible by Apologia. Apologia helps families like mine build a biblical worldview while having fun learning. And they offer audiobook options for their amazing textbooks and online courses and video lessons to help every type of learner. Their Swimming Creatures of the Fifth Day course invites kids and parents into the underwater wonders of ocean life. What I love is that my kids remember what we learned from Apologia long after our lessons. Deep truths are rooting down in their hearts as interesting and helpful knowledge fills their minds and inspires them to keep learning. We are raising lifelong learners and nurturing faith with Apologia. Explore their award-winning courses at apologia.com. Dr. Carter is a senior scientist and speaker for Creation Ministries International. Let's welcome on Dr. Carter. Dr. Rob, thank you so much for joining us again on Nat Theo.
You're welcome, Erin. I'm looking forward to our second conversation.
My family, we love visiting the ocean. We live in Colorado, so we are in the desert. We are landlocked, but we love visiting the ocean. Normally, we explore from the beach, but you have had the opportunity to explore God's underwater world up close with over 500 scuba dives. I would love to start with your work as a coral reef ecologist. What does a normal day of work look like for you?
Normal day's work was mainly reading and writing. A lot of time in the laboratory, grinding up corals, extracting DNA, extracting proteins. I built a coral aquaculture facility, but it was 8 20-foot long, 1 foot deep and 2 feet wide tanks that was connected to a system that recirculated the water. We controlled the temperature and the salinity and the light, and we were growing corals in there and measuring their growth and taking pictures of them. But hundreds and hundreds of scuba dives out on the coral reef. I did get to spend one glorious month in the Bahamas on a remote island on a research cruise, scuba diving every day and every night. That was really pretty.
That sounds amazing. When you were growing corals, what did your team do with the corals? Was it just for research?
It was just for research. We were trying to get enough of it by, basically, I would take the coral out of a tank and I'd use a tile saw that people use to cut tiles that like glue on the wall and zzzk and cut the coral in half. And then put it back in the tank again. Now we have
And
two
you
claws.
shared with us yesterday that that doesn't actually hurt them.
They don't seem to mind that much.
And then they regrow.
I don't think they have nerve ending. I don't think they have pain sensing nerve endings.
Okay.
So it's not like they're screaming, "Ow, don't cut me." No, it's just zip, yeah. Very simple animal. Put it in a tank and now we have two and both of them will grow.
Wow.
And so we're looking at growth rates. We're studying damage to corals, how fast they grew after they got damaged and what type of growth did they show. And what we figured out was that the first thing they do is they sheet out like about that much and then they start growing thicker. So the response to damage is try to cover the damage. Okay. That was really cool. Spent a lot of time looking at them under microscopes, including microscopes under fluorescent light. So shine ultraviolet light on them and just watch them. And they have these greens and blues and they're just beautiful and their tentacles wave, but they're also covered in little hairs, little cilia. Mm. And under a microscope, you can see little particles floating in the water. When it gets close to the coral, it goes whoop, because all the hairs are beating at the same time. And what they do is they're sweeping their surface and they're bringing any food particles. They'll come to one of the polyps where the mouth is and the food goes whoop, whoosh, down into the polyp and it kind of does that. It gets trapped until it falls into its mouth.
Wow.
So they're farming and eating. They're eating little particles in the water that we can't even see and they're constantly doing that just based on the principles of water flow.
So you shared that a lot of your work is reading and writing and other work is in the lab and some is in the water. What has been your favorite part?
Oh, by far my favorite part was scuba diving. Absolutely amazing things I've seen under the water, things I could not even describe, just the wonders, the beauty. Sometimes the fright, like the giant moray eel that was bigger than me that I saw one day, really close.
Whoa.
But later on, I got used to them. It didn't bother me. The first time I saw them, I was like, ah! They're not that scary once you get used to them. But scuba diving at night is probably my favorite, especially in a warm summer evening where you're sitting on the surface and the stars are out and there's the moon and it's, you know, no breeze and the sea is as clear or as flat as glass. And then, mm-hmm. It's time to go watch the corals have babies and you jump in the water and it's like, wow. It's like swimming inside a mirror. It's so clear. And then, you know, a shark might swim by. And here's a cuttlefish going, woo, 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 woo.
Oh, I love
and
cuttlefish.
Then
they're my favorite.
A couple hours later, all the corals release eggs into the water. And everything comes out. All the fish come out. Everything. It's like a feeding frenzy. Eat, 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 eat. And some of the eggs don't get eaten. And they float to the surface. And they just float away. And they're pink. Little teeny pink eggs. Yeah, they're pink, yeah. The surface of the water will be covered in pink. And the next morning, you'll see like windrows are all piles up into long streaks of pink. It's all coral eggs.
Wow. I've never heard of that. That sounds amazing to see. Yeah. Can you share one or two just amazing things that you have seen while scuba diving?
Oh, man. How about 1,000 hammerhead sharks?
1,000? Not at one time.
All at the same time.
Is that an exaggeration or do you mean 1,000 hammerhead sharks?
I couldn't count them all. I was snorkeling in the Galapagos Islands and there's this volcano that came up and cracked open and the boat dropped us off of one side and we swam through the crack. It's about 100 yards wide. Yeah. It's about 100 yards wide and I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of feet up these sheer cliff walls. We swam through this and we got to the other side and we're waiting for the boat to come around. And I looked down and about 60 feet down, I saw a hammerhead shark. It's like, ooh. And then I saw another. And another, and they're all pointing the same direction. Just, they're not moving, but they're swimming into the current. So the current goes, they're just sitting there. And I said, there's a lot of them down there. So I was pretty good at free diving back then. So I took a deep breath. When I went down about 50 feet and I just hovered over these sharks and there were sharks as far as I could see. They just disappeared into the gloom in every direction. Like
carpet of sharks.
A carpet of hammerhead sharks.
Wow.
And I came back into service and I did not get eaten and I got back on the boat.
That's good.
And later on I was like, I could have died. That was a lot of sharks.
Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine. Have you had any other, you talked about moray eels as well, any frightening experiences while diving? And can you share
Yeah.
how did God help you through that frightening situation?
Great question. When I was a new scuba diver, I made some friends that had a fish collecting business off of East Florida. So the Gulf Stream rips right up the east coast of Florida, really strong. And the water there is about 120 feet deep, which is really deep. I've not gone that deep many times. Like my third dive, I did. And that was deeper than I should have been going. And the water was cloudy enough that when you're halfway down, you still can't see the bottom. And I couldn't see the top.
Oh, that's scary.
It's really disorienting. It's like, this is uncomfortable. And I finally got down. I had made a mistake. When you turn your scuba tank on and you look at your gauge to make sure it's filled up, and you have enough pressure, I went shh, like that, got enough pressure, and I forgot to turn it all the way on. And
So what does that
so,
mean? What does that do?
well, I didn't know. I found out the hard way. What happened was, as the tank is getting emptier, when the pressure in the tank was the same as the water pressure, you can't suck air out of it. And so, uh-oh, couldn't breathe.
Oh
It's like,
no.
and I mean, I didn't panic, but I was like, this is not good. I get a little bit of air. So I signaled to my friend I was going up, which she expected because she's gonna be down there a long time. I was brand new. I sucked through my air really quickly. I got really good later. And I started going up and I could breathe again, but then it caught up to me again. But you can't go straight to the surface because when you're under pressure, you're starting to absorb nitrogen into your body. And if you go too fast up, the nitrogen turns into bubbles and you get what's called the bends. Now, I don't want to get the bends in my third scuba dive. That would have been pretty embarrassing and maybe deadly. So I was going up slowly, and every once in a while it would just catch up with me. And finally, I had to hang about was it 15 feet. You had to sit there for 20 minutes to get the
Oh, it's a long
nitrogen out.
time.
And then most of the time I was going, and I was really scared. And so I was praying. I said, God, help me to relax. I'm still alive, thank you. I don't know if I should ever scuba dive again, but he got me through it, and I got up, and then later on I realized I hadn't turned my air on. I was like, you almost killed yourself.
Oh,
But
my goodness.
that was the worst. After, probably 600 scuba dives now, I've never had anything else like that. And it was
I love that
just.
you didn't stop either, because you said you felt like maybe I shouldn't even be scuba diving, but then God helped you through that, and then you went on to do all this incredible work.
And but that's true for a lot of things we do in life. The first time we try it, we might really be bad at it. In fact, probably the first time we try something, you are going to be really. I mean, try to paint a painting like Picasso or Rembrandt. You're not going to do it the first time. It takes a lot of practice and a lot of work. And if you want to get good at something, you really have to set your mind to it. And so I did keep going, and I got to the point where I didn't need any weights. I could just inflate my lungs to the right volume and hover wherever I wanted to. I had summers where my job was to count baby corals. So we go to a reef and we lay down a long tape measure, like 100 feet long tape measure, and we had a little half meter square that we put down at random points, and you sit there and you count all the corals that were this size and smaller inside your little square. And well, I would just go upside down and I would just float in the water upside down, looking at the bottom, going one, two, three, four, writing on my little pad. And I spent half the summer upside down in the water. So I just got a lot of practice.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I can't even, my head kind of hurts thinking about that with the pressure and being upside down that long. Well, you share in your book, Biblical Biology 101, you quote the late scientist Louis Pasteur, who wrote that, quote, "Science brings men nearer to God," men meaning humankind. Can you share how has science personally brought you nearer to God?
Oh man. I just happened to have studied some of the most beautiful organisms on the planet. And so I could just exult in what I was learning and what I was looking at all the time. I saw, things under microscopes that were just, just boggle the mind because they're so elegant and complicated. When I'm studying the food webs that we talked about in the last episode, it was just profound. But also, there's a couple of times when I worked really hard, sometimes for months, and I finally got, data from some experiments, and I put them on a chart, and I drew it on on a spreadsheet, and it was on my computer screen, and it dawned on me. It's happened actually twice in my scientific career. It dawned on me. No one else has ever seen this before.
That has to be
God
incredible.
God hid something in creation thousands of years ago that he let me discover and show the world.
Wow.
That's humbling.
Yeah.
But it's also exciting. And the fact that God gives us like Johann Kepler, the great astronomer.
Yes, I love studying his work.
Me too. But his work, he said it was like thinking God's thoughts after him.
Yes.
And that's what a scientist is. We're literally thinking God's thoughts after him. We're not thinking anything new. When a scientist says, oh, I've discovered a new star. No, God already has a name for that star.
Yeah.
We discovered it for ourselves, but we're just revealing what God's already done. And so it's humbling and it's exciting and it helps us to worship the Creator. It is clear that this universe was made, that we were made, that we were made different from all the other animals. In fact, we were given the ability to relate to God, unlike a coral or even unlike a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
I mean, spiritually, a monkey is dumb as a bunch of rocks. They don't do poetry. They don't do music. They don't ponder their existence. They don't think about eternity like we do, because we are made different. And that's what the Bible says, that we are made in the image of God. God made us very special so we could relate to him. And part of that means that we get to explore and think and discover things that he hid for us to find.
Yeah, it's almost like a scavenger hunt, only we don't even know what we're looking for sometimes.
No. Nor do we understand what we're seeing.
No.
I mean, to get off the corals a little bit, the most fundamental things in the universe, light, gravity, magnetism, we don't know what those things are. We use them all the time, but we can't explain them. It's beyond our ability to understand. Is light a wave or a particle? And how does it always travel at light speed no matter what? And how come something shifts red and shifts blue and our little brains explode? But this is God doing things more impressive than we're able to understand.
Yeah.
And yet, when we look at the created world, there are things we can understand. And so that duality of, here's what we can learn. Wow, life is really complicated. God is amazing. And here's what we can't understand. Wow, these really important things that help us live, we don't even understand. So it kind of puts us in our place at the same time.
Oh, totally.
I just love science. And this is what makes science fun. That balance between what we can know and what we will never know.
I agree. Your work is devoted to showing others God's designs, his intelligence in nature. Can you share just one of your favorite examples of discovering God's designs in creation?
Oh, there's so many. Oh, wow. Can I use the coral world as an example, since corals
are my favorite? Absolutely. Yes. I am so fascinated by corals right now. Please.
Okay. This little coral skeleton here, this can be used to replace human bone. You could cut this into a square or whatever and clean it and get rid of all the proteins. And you can use that, like if someone has a broken bone, maybe they're missing a piece, you hit the coral in there, sew it back together, and your bone will fuse with it and it'll become your bone.
Your bone will fuse, so your bone is actually accepting that foreign object?
As long as the proteins are gone,
okay,
your body just considers it just calcium carbonate. And it's already porous like your bones are, and already has stress points like your bones have, and your body will absorb it and then remodel it. And because you replace parts of your body over time, your bones aren't the bones you have now aren't the same bones you had when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Your body has been dissolving and re-precipitating calcium carbonate the whole time. So your bones get recycled. And that little coral will get recycled, and later on that'll be your bone there now.
That's incredible. Hmm. Well, do you have a word of advice or encouragement for a child listening in who is interested in becoming a marine biologist?
Ooh. I hope you like cold water, and I hope you like mud.
I remember that sounds like my daughter, actually.
My marine biology teacher in high school. Get in the water, Carter. Everybody who wants to be a marine biologist in July. This is like February in New York, and we had to measure the depth of the water. It's like, oh. So it's not always glamorous, and it's not always fun. And most marine biologists, very few get to study dolphins. Everybody wants to study dolphins. Very few do. Most of us study worms and mud and squishy, smelly things, because most of the diversity of life that God created is squishy and smelly things that live in the oceans. And we go, ew, that's gross. But yeah, it's gross, but it's really cool at the same time. And this worm might be completely different than this other worm. Not even related at all, not even similar in any way, shape, or form once you start actually looking at it. And diversity of life just explodes while we're studying it. But anyone who wants to go into the sciences is going to have to deal with evolution. They're going to have to deal with people who don't believe that God created anything and believe they were only here accidentally. And it's really hard to work through some of those things, but you have to work through it. You can't just say, la 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 la, I'm not listening. No, you have to work through it. You're going to be confronted with it. So you have to start developing explanations and ways of saying, no, I believe that God is the creator. And creation.com is a great resource for that. And we get thousands of articles in these topics. In fact, some of them I've written, but all the other ones that I've read have encouraged me myself in my pursuit of creation science. But if you want to go into science, you're going to have to be the best student. You're going to have to study harder than everybody else, especially if you're a Bible believer. You're going to have to give the people who don't like Bible believers no excuse. It's like, wow, that's the best student we've ever seen. I guess I have to give them an A. I don't want to, but I have to because I've got nothing to say negative about the person. And but then again, we have a reason for working hard. The reason that a Christian works hard is to bring glory to God. Say, Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do these cool things. Thank you for giving me a mind that likes science. And our natural response should be, wow, therefore, I'm going to work as hard as I can to learn as much as I can and to be the best at this I can possibly be out of thanks to God. And those sorts of thoughts are what propelled the early scientists, most all of whom were Christians. The early scientists who invented the science we use today, almost every one of them was a Bible believer. They worked really, really hard to become very expert at sometimes some very minutiae of details, and we owe them a lot. So that's my advice. Work hard, be faithful, and get ready to answer the hard questions because they're gonna come. You're not gonna be able to block them out.
That is such good advice because the Bible does tell us to work with excellence to reflect our excellent Creator, and then also to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us, but to do so
Second
with
Peter
gentleness
3:15.
and respect. And that's what we get to
Yes.
do. And this was part of my story because I love studying nature and science, but for several years, this was in the past, but I kind of did close my ears. I was afraid to study worldviews different from mine, like evolution, because I was afraid, what if I'm wrong? But then God just gave me the boldness to do so. And I read and I studied really hard. And you know what happened? My faith in the Creator God and biblical creation became so much stronger. And
See,
that's
my
what we
path was
see.
different. I
I
started
can
out as an
hear.
evolutionist. I didn't know anyone who believed in biblical creation when I was growing up. I didn't even know it was a thing. I just said evolution's a fact because that's all I knew. But evolution was convincing to me at first. It was when I started studying it more scientifically that the scales fell away and my ideas changed. At the same time, I'm also becoming a Christian and becoming a rather conservative Christian, and my science is becoming more in line with scripture. But it took me like 10 years.
Oh,
It wasn't like,
wow.
oh, yeah, I believe the earth is young and God is the creator. No. I had to wrestle with myself. I had to unlearn a lot of things, and I had to ask myself, am I brave enough to actually believe this, even if people laugh at me? And as
That's
a
a good question.
scientist, I mean, the people who are scientists, they've usually been the smartest person in the room their entire life. They don't like being laughed at. They don't like not knowing things. A lot of scientists like other people when they think they're really smart. oh, that person thinks I'm really smart. It makes you feel good. Yeah, it does make you feel good, but it's also a trap. It's a gigantic emotional, intellectual trap that we have to be very careful of. We need to walk humbly before God, and God knows more than us, and it's okay. That was not easy for me to do. And I know it's not easy for a lot of other people also, and so we all struggle. But man, it's such a nice thing, believing in God and believing that He's the Creator.
Yes.
It's a beautiful, wonderful place to be. So kids, parents, dig in. There's so much more to learn.
Isn't it amazing to think about scuba diving in the ocean and discovering all of these fascinating creatures, including coral? I hope you were inspired by Dr. Carter to keep exploring God's wild and wonderful underwater world. Make sure to check out Dr. Carter's work at the link in our show notes and at Creation Ministries International. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this special guest episode, please take a moment to share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world.
Yeah, we are all looking.